out.
Okay, it's March 31st, 2005. Tom, let's go through this. I'm going to do what's called a walkthrough of the crime scene. I don't have to tell you this, but we're just going to be careful. You know, obviously you've been on a crime scene before. Just try not to step on anything. But I want to get up kind of close to talk about the different items that are on the car, the police car, the sheriff's car over there, and how things get laid out and your recollection of what happened. Some of these items might spawn a better memory. So let's start over here. Now, how did you get to the scene?
I left my residence in my Toyota truck. I drove up to this location, and I stopped just prior to the exit gate.
Okay.
What's called the Brittany Park gate.
And we had a conversation less than an hour ago, and you were telling me the reason why you got here is because you heard 6 to 8 shots.
Yes, well, in the shower, I heard sound like 6 to 8 gunshots.
And that's why you brought your Toyota up here. And where exactly did you park it? If you could show me.
Truck right there at the residence.
The mailbox.
The mailbox is
okay.
There prior to the gate.
So you pointed, okay, I got you. And then what did you do?
I left my truck there, got out of my truck, and ran up through the exit gate to the sheriff's vehicle that's parked on Brittany Park there facing
now,
center of the road.
Now, because we're on audio tape only, I want to make sure this gate we're referring to is a very large, looks like a steel frame
wrought iron gate.
And was it closed or open?
It was closed.
Closed. And how did you get through that gate?
I pulled my vehicle up to the white limit line, which activates the sensor.
Oh, so you got back in your truck?
Well, when I pulled up to it, I pulled up to the white limit line to activate the gate, and I backed up my truck.
Oh, okay.
I parked it in front of the mailboxes.
Okay.
Got out and ran through the now open gates.
Okay, excellent. So the vehicle gate, the exit gate is open now, and you run up here, and we're approaching a Ventura County Sheriff's vehicle marked number 3292, black and white version. Tell me what you saw or what happened at this point.
As I was running up here, another black and white sheriff's vehicle pulled up and stopped to the left. Vehicle 3292, basically in the entrance driveway to Brittany Park.
Okay.
I did not get that deputy's name, but I recognized his shirt as being a two-striper, training officer, or a senior deputy.
Okay.
I told him...
Let me back up just a little. What did this guy look like, the two-striper?
Large, either Hispanic or Samoan, very stocky, big-chested, barrel-chested type of guy.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay. And also with him was... a citizen, I believe to be a resident of a community whose name or horsepower I never did get.
Okay.
The senior deputy retrieved his first aid kit.
Hold on one sec. Okay. Okay. We're gonna... Okay.
Further away from us.
Absolutely, Captain. We'll walk to the other side over here. So he has to be able to see some of this.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, sir. We'll move over here because the crime techs haven't analyzed the scene yet. So
just so
you can see a lot of this stuff. Okay. So we're still on.
Okay.
The two striper is pulled up in a black and white.
Okay. Correct.
And he has a citizen with him. Is it a male or female?
A male.
Okay. Dressed in like civilian clothes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
The deputy, the two striper retrieved what looked like his first aid kit from the trunk of his radio car.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, by the time that he left his radio car with his trauma kit, his first aid kit, and I arrived simultaneously at vehicle 3292. A deputy was up there by the sheriff's star or the driver's side front tire, basically leaning up against his vehicle. I saw that his left shirt sleeve was bloody. There appeared to be blood trickling down his left bicep and arm area. We started talking to the deputy, who I now believe to be Deputy Ramirez, is that right? Or the deputy who had been shot.
Okay.
Basically trying to keep him alert, keep him conscious. I know from basic CPR keep them going to prevent shock. He started making statements about feeling nauseous or woozy. We escorted him from the front left corner area of his radio car,
uh-huh.
walked him over to the grassy area,
okay.
and laid him down on his back on the grass, kind of between the, I guess, the red tree and the green tree.
The California pepper tree and the red plum tree. Okay, I got
That's
you.
That's what I said.
Just for my notes, it's easier for me to remember that way. Go ahead.
Okay. while there, we were basically talking to him, checking him out for any additional injuries, while treating him, by treating, I mean applying basic pressure to his injury or his wound.
Okay.
The training officer deputy was talking on his radio. He made some statements about having to go check out a second location or another address. I told him that with his first aid kit and with the citizen's help, we would tend to this deputy and treat him.
Okay.
He should go on and do what he has to do. The deputy got in his vehicle, drove through the gates, and I never saw him again.
Okay, he drove into the housing track here.
He drove into the housing.
Okay.
I entered the keypad and he proceeded into the gates.
Okay.
Don't know where he ended up. Shortly thereafter, a highway patrol officer arrived, assisted us, basically blocked out the intersection here. A couple of minutes after that, a female contacted me. She basically yelled at me through the gates. She reported to be a nurse, she was obviously first aid knowledge, and that she had a first aid kit, which she went and got also, I believe. With the combined efforts of all of us. She lives in here.
Oh, so she walked up.
She walked up.
Okay.
She walked up and came out through the gate. Or no, she walked through the pedestrian gate over there.
Okay, I see that.
All right. This gate was now closed.
Near the exit, vehicle gate. Okay.
So she basically yelled at me through the gate and walked through the little pedestrian gate over there.
Okay.
While the deputy was laying on his back on the grass area, waiting for fire department personnel to get here in the ambulance. An off-duty fireman who had been running down the street stopped and rendered aid with us. The off-duty fireman and myself cut the deputy's uniform shirt from him, checking him out for any additional injuries.
What did you use to cut the shirt?
A pair of scissors. Actually, we used the deputy's knife.
Okay.
The deputy relinquished his knife, which was in his right rear sap pocket.
And that's the knife you gave me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead. So you cut his shirt?
We cut his shirt. We removed his vest. And we saw what appeared to be a single gunshot wound to the upper left chest area. I did not see any obvious entry wounds. We basically applied first aid and maintained contact with him until the first unit arrived, which was the AMR ambulance. The AMR ambulance personnel basically took over with the assistance of the off-duty fireman, and shortly thereafter, the battalion chief arrived.
Okay. Do you remember the off-duty fireman's name?
I never got his name, but all the battalion chief and all the guys on the engine that arrived all recognized him. He
okay.
might be a co-worker, and he said that everybody here knows me. And
okay.
I didn't ever ask him his name.
Okay. What else?
While the deputy was laying on the ground, trying to engage him in a conversation to keep him going into shock, we just had talk. He asked for his cell phone. He felt it necessary to call home or call his wife to let him know that, hey, I've been shot, I've been involved in a situation, but I'm okay. Allowed him to do that. Just try to keep his mind going. I never asked him about how this happened or what happened.
Okay.
My concern was, you know, not necessarily the background of this, but just his safety and his security.
Absolutely. Okay.
So I've got no knowledge of what else happened, but I wasn't concerned with that.
Now, the last time we talked, you mentioned that the deputy that had been shot was talking about this may be related to something else.
Yes. While talking to him, and I think I asked him about who did this to him, where's the suspect, he said that this is He made a relation that it's related to, or possibly related to, an incident that occurred yesterday in Thousand Oaks.
Okay.
And when I asked him, I said, you mean the suspect in the white truck, which I saw on the news last night? He said, yes. But he's not going into any further details, nor did I ask.
Okay. All right, and that's basically the extent of the suspect conversation you had with him? Okay.
That was the extent of that.
All right. So now what happens? What about a Mercedes that you talked about before?
While this was going on, while we're treating the injured deputy, a gold-colored Mercedes pulled up. I heard what sounded like tire squeal. You can tell when a car is decelerating very quickly.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what time frame did the Mercedes show up? Where,
On the grass.
And the nurse had already showed up?
I believe so, yes.
The fireman was already there?
Yes.
Off duty? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
He pulled up at a high rate of speed. Because I think my vehicle was here, there was a high control truck kind of parked, kind of blocking the intersection, and there's some other vehicle traffic in this area. He let stop to look or
see
what's going on. The driver's window of the Mercedes was down, and he's yelling, get out of my way, let me through, where's that effect of, I gotta get in there.
Okay, well, can you describe this driver?
I think he's a male white adult with dark brown hair. He was the sole occupant of the vehicle.
Okay.
At the same time he pulled up, there's a female adult with blonde hair and a white Suburban that also pulled up. Whether those two vehicles or people are related or not, I don't know.
Okay.
But they both pulled up here at the gate at basically the same time.
So how did this driver in the gold the gold Mercedes, how did he get inside? Did he go inside the housing tract?
He went inside the housing tract, and I believe someone had said he's a doctor or he's a resident. I think I may have walked over and accessed the code to allow him to go into the property because realizing this is a crime scene, I wanted to keep him out.
Okay. So you think you let him in?
I think I let him in.
Okay. All right. And then what happened?
He entered the community. That was the last I saw of him.
White Suburban lady?
I don't know what happened to her.
Okay.
I don't know if she left or entered.
Okay. So after that happened, you remember what happened next?
Yes, I went back, I think, after I must have let him in, I went back to the deputy and just maintained contact with him, just basically held him, engaged in a conversation until he was eventually transported and left.
Okay, who came and got him?
AMR and ambulance. They were the first unit to arrive here.
Okay. Okay. And then, when did he give you, he bought his firearm? Tell me about that.
While he was laying on the ground before the ambulance got here, the off-duty fireman and I made the decision to remove his gun belt to basically cut off his shirt to allow more work area.
Okay.
When the AMR ambulance people got here, they made the medical decision to transport him immediately to the hospital, understanding the nature of what happened and the safety and security of his firearm. I confirmed to him again that I'm an off-duty deputy, and he allowed me to take custody of his firearms.
Okay.
I physically breached his holster, and I took his duty weapon from his holster. Then he told me that he had a backup gun on his lower pant leg. I then found what appeared to be a Smith & Wesson 5-shot airway type of a gun, stainless steel.
Okay.
I think it was on the inside of his left ankle.
Okay.
I took possession of that, and I had already had his knife, which I took from his sap pocket earlier.
Okay.
To cut his uniform shirt and his white t-shirt.
Okay. Now, when you took the firearms from him with his permission, what did you do with them?
I put his duty weapon in my right front pants pocket,
Okay.
And off-duty weapon in my left front pants pocket.
And did you at any time manipulate any of these firearms by opening the action or cylinders?
No, I know not to.
Okay.
I took them as is, as I found them.
Okay. And just for continuity here, I do remember you taking the automatic out of your right pocket and the Smith & Wesson out of your left pocket. And I now custody of those firearms. So, what else? Anything?
Did you want to talk over about the equipment or
yes.
Was it on the ground?
Yeah.
As I got here...
Let's step up a little further where we can see some of this stuff. Okay. Okay, now we're looking at the sheriff's car, 3292 again.
As we look at the vehicle, when I first got here, the hood was free of everything. There was nothing on the hood of this vehicle.
Okay.
When we were basically field stripping him on the grass area,
uh-huh.
We unsecured his Sam Brown belts.
Uh-huh.
But because he was laying on his back, I got the two keepers that were in the front area of his waistband. But because he was laying on his back, I couldn't get the back two keepers. We undoed his regular pants belt, pulled that out, which allowed us access to his gun belt.
Okay.
After securing his weapons, the fire department, the ambulance personnel picked him up, loaded him into a gurney. I took his Sam Brown duty belt and put it on the driver's seat inside his vehicle.
And we're not close enough to see that, but that's where you last put it?
Yes, sir.
And you haven't seen anyone take it from there?
I haven't seen anyone take
it. Okay, so it should be on the front seat.
It should
right
be
now.
On the front
okay.
seat.
All right.
But because I was out here basically by myself with a high patrol officer, I made the decision to take his radio off of his belt,
right,
and I put it on the hood of his vehicle in case I needed to communicate with somebody, I would have access to it.
Good. Okay.
His belt and the sunglasses were basically on the grass area. I picked them up. I put those items on the hood of the radio car.
Okay.
As well as his keepers.
Okay.
There appears to be like a CPR mask is on the hood.
Uh-huh.
I think the car personnel put it there, but
okay.
I'm not positive. I know that I didn't put it there.
And then, yeah. Okay.
There's kind of like a white and red box.
Yeah.
I think this distance, I can't tell what it is.
I think it's a part of the bandages that come out of that red medical bag. Now, the red medical bag on the lawn, tell me about that.
I believe that's what the TO officer, the bonus deputy, took out of the trunk of his vehicle.
The two-stripe deputy?
Two-stripe
okay.
deputy.
Okay.
I think there's also some other item. I think what you're looking at is in the ground,
mm-hmm.
the curb line, and the grass area is a combination of about two first aid kits.
Okay.
One being the nurse lady from the community.
All right.
And the two-striper deputy.
Okay, the red bag came from the two-striper. Okay.
I believe the red bag came from the two-striper, and you'll find other... I think there's maybe a white plastic box.
Okay.
At least I remember seeing a white plastic box, like a homemade or
okay.
you could buy like a Kmart or a Walmart.
Okay.
So that should be the combination of the two first aid kits.
And on the pavement, right in front of the black and white that's 3292, there seems to be a white cloth with what appears to be a blood stain.
That's the deputy's t-shirt.
Okay. And that's the shirt that you told me that you cut off?
Cut with a knife.
Okay. Now up there, further on the grass, up above the red medical bag, appears to be...
The front panel of his Kevlar vest.
Okay. And it also is bloodstained?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that is an item that you also removed?
Myself or the fireman,
okay.
the combination of the both of us basically removed it from his body.
When you were doing the first aid?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's see if there's anything else over there that might need explanation.
Over here.
Okay. I don't see anything else without getting closer that needs explanation at this point. Okay, is there anything else that you can think of that we haven't talked about?
No, nothing I can think of right now.
All right, Detective, what we're going to do is we're going to go off tape here, and over the next couple days, we'll probably have some follow-up questions for you.
That's fine.